In the name of the Triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I will read the written word of God from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 36 to 39. And the words are, in Jesus' name. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid up unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. But yet known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Amen. What is important to you, today's listener of God's Word? What is important at these summer services here in Vaasa? There are many important things in a person's life. Very many things. And very important. Could this text portion of the Bible show the main central important thing of a person's life? The text tells us, rises up a question: who, what, where, and when, and to who? And what had happened before this text, and what is to happen afterwards. Briefly said, this text is the peak after this text that Apostle Paul kept in Antioch, in the city of Antioch, in his first mission trip. In the beginning of this chapter 13, in the beginning of the text, in the history of the mission trip, it tells of how Luke, how in Syria, in Antioch, teachers had come together, and prophets also. And he mentions by name five people. This in Syria, Antioch, where this gathering was held, is located in the Mediterranean Sea, near the area, a city in Turkey. It was a significant place for central place for Christians in the beginning days of Christianity. The believing people, the believing Christians, it was the area where people were first called Christians. The Holy Spirit guided this gathering in Antioch, and they decided to send. They thought to send Barnabas and Saul of Tarsus to be out and to do the work. Lucas writes, so they fasted and prayed. And then they put their hands upon these two and send them out. Out into the journey as Paul's first missionary trip. As we can now say, based on other parts of the Bible and then the final words of the Acts of the Apostles into the work of the Kingdom of God, the work of the Gospel. The brothers brought their trip towards Cyprus, where Barnabas was from. And at this point of the trip, Luke begins to, he calls Saul of Tarsus, he changes his name to Paul. They sailed from Cyprus straight to the north into the shore of Asia Minor, into the country of Turkey, into a city there. And they traveled north, and they came into Antioch, into the city of Antioch, which is now called, which is a city in ruins. They went there, into Sicily, on the day of the Sabbath, into the synagogue. We could say a Sunday into the church, if we want to straighten out the way. After the law and the prophet had been preached, they came to talk Paul and Barnabas and asked, "Do you have something to say?" Paul gets up and points with his hand and he begins to speak. And from this short text is a short portion from. What does Paul, the selected weapon of the Lord, what did he preach there on the Sabbath in the synagogue to the Israelites and the other people who feared God? This is how he spoke to the people in church, to those Israelites and others who feared God. In the beginning portion of the text, Paul speaks of the history of the Israelites, beginning from the time of slavery in Egypt, and the wilderness journey goes through the steppes, speaks of the time of the judges, and how the people wanted a king, and God gave them Saul. And how God put Saul away and gave David to be the king. And then he speaks of David. And he borrows from the Old Testament of what has been written. And what was written about David. What kind of witness God had given of David. And he talks of this in this way in this text. The witness, God's witness of David. I have found David, the son of Isaiah, according to the will, who has done all my will. The text began where he speaks of David. This is from our text. It is a good witness of a person from God if the person or man is according to the heart of God. What kind of man or person is this who is according to the heart of God? David had great merits of the world, even for others to share. He was a great king and soldier. As a young man, he fought a lion and a bear and Goliath. And then he was the king and a soldier and a fighter. And he increased the kingdom and strengthened it, and so on. And if we use today's terms, he was a great man of culture, a poet and player or musician. He had these merits. But I think that if God says that he was a man according to his heart, they do not relate to these merits. The Bible tells us, and we know well, we know that David fell into great sins to be God's will, according to God's will. It would mean that David repented of all his own sins. God was according to God's heart. When David asked forgiveness, dear brothers and sisters, I think that today such a person is according to God's will, is one who asks forgiveness for his own sins. It is according to the mind of God. And God will one day take this person to heaven. He will call on the last day those blessed ones of the Father to come unto him. It is a picture of a believing person. This is what I think. And here Paul speaks when he combines the Old and New Covenant events when he states, for after he had served his own generation, that he has given a Savior, Jesus, to the Israelites, that Jesus is a descendant of David, and he is the Savior. He mentions John the Baptist and how John the Baptist preached of the person to come, a more valuable person to come after him, Jesus. And then he says, men, children of Abraham, those who fear God, we have been sent the message of the Savior. And he continues, in a brief way he tells of the events of Good Friday, how the prophecy of the prophets, how Jesus was sentenced as an innocent man, how he died on the cross and he was buried, the death of Jesus and the burial. And after this he said, God awakened Jesus from the dead. And many times Paul goes through. Four times he says, God awakened Jesus from the dead. As our text began, after he had served his generation, David died, and he was laid by his fathers, and his body was corrupted or rotted away. David served the plans of God. This was the first thing in this text. God had planned the life of David. David had planned Paul's life. You many remember how God, he spoke to Ananias, who feared, who had to bless Saul. He told Ananias how Paul will be the selected weapon to bring the word of God on. God has the plans and the drawings of yours and of my life. How we worry so often, but God knows our lives. He has known our life before we were born. Here Paul speaks. This great man, David's, his death and burial, and how the body rots into the grave, even though he was a great man, and a man according to God's mind. The body is corrupt, or it rots into the grave, as it is for every one of us. But that God raised from the dead, Jesus, who he raised, there was no corruption, there was no rot, there were only the wrappings. The woman who came to the grave, we believers, we believe in the resurrection. The resurrection is a central theme. Paul writes of this to the Corinthians. If Christ would not have risen, our sermon is of waste, and therefore your faith is also wasted. Paul here then focuses on the resurrection and death, the death and the resurrection, pointing to what he had said earlier. He says, brothers, beware. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. This is speaking of Jesus. For the merits of Jesus, your sins are preached forgiven. Of this forgiveness, Jesus speaks of this subject. And after resurrection, he speaks to his known. After his resurrection, he speaks to his own. Luke writes in this way, using the words of Jesus to his followers. Christ had to die through death and rise on the third day from death. And forgiveness and the forgiveness of sin should be preached unto all people, and you are witnesses of this. This is how Jesus spoke for the basis of the forgiveness of sins, the suffering of Christ, and the death and the resurrection. And he says that we must preach the forgiveness and this. The preacher and the witnesses are the followers of Jesus, the believing people. And Paul writes in the letter to the Ephesians, he preaches the forgiveness, if I use this word, the sound of the blood, Paul writes, we have redemption in the blood of Christ. Our sins are forgiven. And we preach the forgiveness of sins according to the word of God in the Bible, in Jesus' name and blood. Paul proclaimed in the synagogue, for the sake of Christ, the forgiveness of sins. And some of the people believed, and they did receive their sins forgiven. This witnesses what he wrote earlier, later, when he says, Paul and Barnabas recommended to those who left the synagogue to remain in the grace of Christ. Some of the listeners, some were partakers of the grace of Christ. Paul and Barnabas recommended for them to stay in the grace. And a little later, it is said here, the Gentiles rejoiced and also believed in the word. This is how the sermon of the forgiveness of sin by Paul came out. How is it today? What does this word mean today? For his merits, your sins are preached forgiven. Is there any significance or answer today in these times? I could ask, do you have sin? Is sin on your mind and on your conscience? That same possibility to receive forgiveness is for you who feel that unforgiven sins are pressing on your mind. The same possibility that was there in the synagogue in Antioch. Is there someone here in this tent or in the field or near the radio? Is there such a person that God has awakened? In the synagogue, there had been those listeners in the synagogue were of Jewish birth, and they had thought, I think, that they had thought by fulfilling the law, they would be acceptable to God. Are you, dear listener, do you feel that your poor conscience, have you sometimes thought that it would be enough for God, before God, that if you live correctly and right, live a clean life and do good and not hurting others and go to church and so on. Some may have traveled in different churches and spiritualities, but you have not found peace. Something is missing in your life. There is one example in the Bible about Cornelius, which is told, and there is a witness. It says that he was a righteous, he gave much and loved God, and he prayed. He prayed always for God. This great witness was given to him. Cornelius was still missing something. He was not happy. He felt good only after Peter preached unto him the forgiveness of sins. Such a good witness, owner of such a good witness he was when he received the forgiveness of sins. Living a good life, no one will get to heaven. Cornelius was not going. It was not enough for him or for anyone. The merits of man before God, Paul throws out completely. In the letter to the Romans, Paul writes about the merits of man. There is no one who searches, seeks for God. All have fallen away. All have done worthless things. There is none that does that which is good, not even one. In the letter to the Galatians, Paul writes, no person can become righteous by doing what the law demands. The only possibility is to trust in the merits of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, today. For all those whose conscience has been awakened by God, the word of God is seeking you into the participation of grace. The service is here. The word has been proclaimed in each sermon. This invitation is called proclaimed. The Son of God has died on your behalf, and from this sermon you can believe your sins forgiven, your unbelief and all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And you can go and follow us and follow the Lord. Dear travel friend, brother and sister, they're in trial and tribulation. What did it say here in this text? Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. A few thousand years after this was preached by Paul, here in the service of the evening, the same gospel, the same word is preached. You can believe in Jesus' name and blood. You can believe all your sins forgiven and be of good comfort. I want to seek tonight into the participation of this grace. You who live alone, for some reason, a lonely man or a woman who has no spouse. You who don't have a spouse, the situation in your life, it may feel like a painful wound or a painful scar or something in between. It does mean something for you. At this moment, I think my friend who calls me, he often calls me. He repeats this word. That illness, sickness is not a hindrance to faith. Borrowing these words, I think of a stupid word that may sound. Living alone is not an obstacle to faith. If there is no blessing hand near, it is not an obstacle to faith. You can believe. If you live alone, all your sins and your dissatisfaction and all those things that have become a hindrance to your faith in Jesus' name and atonement blood, you can be of good comfort. You are in the good care of the Heavenly Father. There are many mothers and fathers listening. Some has had to stay home from the services. Some are now just leaving. Someone is traveling. Someone is setting up camp. And there are many already here. Is there a mother or father out there? There in everyday life, who have felt terrible, or you have felt corruption in your mind. Everything hasn't gone well according to you. Have stayed up all night. A heavy work day behind you. Your spouse has not done what you have wished. The children have complained, and they have seemed incredible. and the old portion has become loose. The arm of the flesh has risen, and no good has been raised. We have had to, through the merits of Jesus, the forgiveness has been preached. We have gone to one another to take care of these matters. Dear Mother and Father, who find yourself so poor, I would like to proclaim this gospel, to whom the corruption has risen. You can lift up your weary gaze upon the beginner of faith, upon the Lord Jesus. You can believe tonight all the sin that have risen from your own flesh and the bad words, the offensive things and pouting and shouting. You can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Be so blessed and comforted. And Paul showed in his text to the Israelites and to those others who feared God. He directed this text to those people, as Paul writes. Listening, there are many people listening, many types and many ages, and people in many situations of life here, listening. I would still like to reach you, should I say, you elders. I am 67 years, and I seem old or feel old, and the ill. Perhaps you're bound in your bed. To you, I want to say, age and illness go hand in hand sometimes. There are similar characteristics. Your condition or fitness becomes weaker. You worry about the future. What will happen to me when my body becomes weaker? And strength is weak. There's loneliness and doubts of faith. Doubts and temptations surround. There are doubts. The temptations are there, even if the spouse is near. Dear travel friend, brother and sister, here at the service area, and near the radios. For you, I would like to bring the greetings of heaven. The weak traveler can believe. You can believe all your doubts and temptations of the devil. You can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. You can trust here in this text that in the merits of Jesus, that everyone that believes is justified, is saved. Everyone who feels this weak faith traveling, be comforted with these words. Everyone who believes will be saved, who will be acceptable to Jesus. Even the weakest one and the poorest traveler was able to travel through the Red Sea when it opened. Not the amount of faith or the measure of faith was asked. Even the weakest believer will get there. With the weak faith, you can win much when you win eternal life Dear travel friends, the words in this short text, the words were this: do know this, brethren, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified for all things from which ye could. The main, most important thing of these services, we proclaim and believe our sins forgiven for the sake of Jesus. It is the central thing, the most important thing in a person's life, personal faith. Jesus taught to Martha, who did her everyday work. There was a good portion for Mary. He taught this for the success of the work of God's kingdom. He preached to the disciples for the joy that your own name is written in the book in heaven, that you are believing. Therefore, remain, dear travel friend, rejoicing in faith. Do not let the earth press you down. Raise your weak head. From your own bosom, there is no good. Look upon the sacrificial lamb upon the cross. He has shed his blood and given his blood even unto you to atone your sins for the sake of Jesus. All your sins are preached forgiven. Believe in Jesus' name and blood. All your sins forgiven. Believe comforted. Unto peace. Believe unto freedom. Believe unto joy. It is good to remain believing and to rejoice. Can I, dear travel friends, can I also believe in many temptations and doubts coming before you? Can I believe my own sins forgiven? So I have the desire to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.